Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Hi everyone, you are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com. It is currently Sunday, the 3rd of January, 2021, finally. I am here on the audio chat live stream with Purple Play.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, yes. I will not ask you how are you doing and everything because we went through that on the unrecorded part. So let's get straight to the topic of the day, which is mask, vaccination, coronavirus, you name it.
Okay. Well, we were talking about vaccination, and I think it bears, I would like to have it on the record that it's very sad that everybody was so looking forward to this awesome vaccination, and they're backpedaling so hard now. It's very sad.
Yes, there was a declaration by someone from the WHO that say that they have currently no proof that the vaccine will resolve anything in that situation. I think that many people that were of the opinion that the vaccine was the solution to everything, and even amongst us, I mean, some of us were probably thinking that as long as many people in the population were to be vaccinated, everything will be fine.
And
apparently, it will not be the case.
Right, and that's what I was saying. And there was another Discord server that I am in. It was kind of funny that this person was, it seemed like someone from Europe was already selling or marketing fake vaccination documents for so you could give to your employer or go on an airplane or whatever. I thought that was interesting. Have you seen anything like that?
Not really, but I did mention earlier on many occasions that in my opinion, one of the strategies is just to go to your doctor and bluntly say that you rather have someone taking the vaccine because it's not as readily available for everyone, and you wish for someone else to take it and whatever.
Yeah, but at this point, though, I mean, at least as far as I've heard anyway from the mainstream, like on the MSM news, it was not to be rolled out for everyone until spring, and right now it's just, for certain folks.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is Noise Level, Perth, WA, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Okay. So, yeah. The whole thing about, the frontline workers, like the nurses and the doctors, get it.
Yes. And also the fact is that supposedly some of the vaccine are based on the new technology, and I think that it will be applied to many diseases, and one way or the other, they will get people more acclimated to getting stabbed repeatedly during the year for any type of reason or new disease or whatever.
Well, especially if they're saying, if it's only going to last two months, come on. Why would you even bother? Because, again, like you were saying, that WHO thing, it says, really, what's the point if you can still get it and you can still spread it? So it really, literally is meaningless. I mean, am I, missing something here? How could you sell something like that? It does not work.
Yes, I don't know. Maybe the marketing tool is that it will kill any type of symptom that you might feel. Which in the end, on the on the basis of that type of epidemic might be a terrible thing. Because anyway, you might be vaccinated and spread it around if there is any truth to that malady, to that disease. You know what I mean? It's just stupid.
In our world, obviously, this is just, it's like magic dust, right? It's like pretend. How could you even operate on such a, it's like, okay, I'm giving you this magical disease, but you're not going to get any symptoms, but you still got it. And so you need to go get a magical, thing in the arm, you know, an injection to get on an airplane, but, you know, it's still, you know what I mean?
That's on face value, just on words, it seems insane. But for
that
everyone,
is,
it makes sense.
It's crazy making.
And I really don't know
for
why.
Me, it's very crazy making. But again, I was thinking about something, you know, the other day, and because you know how Ab and you know our thing is, you can't catch a virus, so to speak. And a virus, when you you know, going back a few. Probably decades, maybe a virus. When you got the flu, they could not. There was no antibiotics for you, right? You didn't. You could only take antibiotics, the cure, if it was bacterial. So you know, in you know certain illnesses, like if you have an infection. The wording here is what I'm focusing on. So here you have an infection, which means bacterial, which means it can be cured with antibiotics, or at least, it, you know, that's what they have stated as a cure. However, a virus, therefore, by that logic, is not an infection. Are you following me here? Like
yes, it's different, and it should be treated totally differently.
So again, with this magical thing that they've created, they're saying, well, I don't know. Actually, I don't think I've actually heard Fauci saying. I think Fauci uses the correct terminology because he knows he's, you know, peddling a big lie. You know, he talks about viral load versus infection. So because the reason it triggered me is because, you know, I was trying to import to my sister, because I told you that my niece went and got tested and came back with a positive. And so my sister says, well, I got to go get tested now too. And I said, well, you're not feeling sick, are you? And she said, no. And I said, well, then why are you getting tested? And she said, well, because I may have been infected. And I said, but you don't feel sick, you know. And I said, and even her daughter, after she, you know, came back and she was not ill, so to speak, other than, you know, she had, I think it was just a hangover. And I said, well, why do you need to have someone tell you that you're sick when you have no symptoms? And she said, well, I don't need to have symptoms to be infected. I can still be infected. So I don't know. Like I said, I think they're playing with the terminology.
Yes. And also, like I mentioned many times, people, they want to be a part of something. Something is happening and they are a part of it. They were there. They felt sick. They lost taste and everything. And they will lie blatantly in your face. They will tell you that they were sick, that they feel terrible, and they had to stay at home for 10 days playing Call of Duty or whatever they think on the internet is. And it was terrible. And they lost taste. And it's the case. I mean, it's the case. And there are also many, I think, athletes that will claim that they are underperforming because of COVID. And it will mess up many, many things.
It already has. I mean, I can't imagine. I don't understand how the, you know, you talk about the athletes, how all these, you know, team owners, they're not making any ticket sales. They're not getting any revenues from these games. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they're getting advertising from TV, but for the most part, you know, because all the games are not on the television.
Well, it's completely different depending, like, for example, you have some teams, and it's the same in the USA and Europe, that are owned by some very, very wealthy individuals. And those people, most of the time, they do it out of pension, and they do have enough money, especially in those times, they are still prospering. And I'm
right.
not worried
well,
that
obviously.
Those teams will go down. Because, like, for example, the New England Patriots that are owned by Robert Kraft, I mean, they will never go down.
Well, and they're paying these guys millions of dollars to stay home and do nothing, too. I mean,
yes, that's the case. But it's like I was about to mention, it's a bit different in Europe. But, for example, the FC Barcelona in Spain, they currently have some trouble retaining their biggest star ever, which is Lionel Messi. Lionel Messi is one of the, if the, not the best soccer player ever. And they have an hard time renegotiating with him because they can clearly not even raise him, and they cannot even pay the same salary he already has. So they want him to accept a pay cut, and the fact is that he can always sign a bigger contract in a team that is owned by some Qatari prince or whatever.
Well, yeah. Well, like I said, I guess, you know, I just don't understand. It's way huger. It's got to be way huger than we even imagine, because I just don't understand how they can just, you know, they're just shelling out all this money, and where is it coming from? and obviously, you know, we're going to have to pay for it eventually.
Yes, but if you know in advance that there is a reset coming, I mean, you can print as much money as you want. Who cares? It is worth nothing, and it will be worth even less than nothing in a few months. So who
exactly.
cares about
well,
how much money are you printing currently?
See, well, that's what I'm saying.
Reset.
We'll be paying, you know, for it in other ways. You know, everything's going to get more expensive. And
not really that it will be expensive, but how can I say that? The level of income that you will still have at your disposal will be totally different than what it is right now.
Exactly. Right, we're going to be taken. I mean, that's kind of what's been happening in America probably even the 90s, I guess, that the middle class is just not going to be there anymore. Either you're like dirt poor or you're the 1%.
Oh, an elite. Yes, but I think there will be something in the middle. Not a middle class per se, but a slave plus class, if you want.
Well, yeah, and you have to, obviously there's, you'll be working for the Amazons and the Apples and the, you know, the big
yes.
boys.
Oh, you will be subsidized by the government to do a meaningless job a few hours a week.
Well, that sounds lovely. A few hours a week, that's not too bad.
Yes, but it will remove the how can I say that, the desire to thrive in the young people.
Well, as far as travel too, I mean, you know, they don't want you to...
No, that will resume. I am not really worried that travel would resume because tourism, that's just about it. Because as much as they can continue to fund the occidental country, I don't think that they are really that much looking forward to finance a country like Thailand or whatever country that are heavy reliant on tourism.
Hmm.
Like,
yeah.
For example, I just, for by total hazard, I'm watching a lot of documentaries about the people climbing the Everest or the K2 or the Annapurna. All those mountains. And it just occurred to me that industry died, basically. I mean, there was probably no one that even tried to ascend the Everest in 2020.
Sure, because you, first of all, I was watching an older documentary for some reason about that recently. And, Oh, I guess it was just a travel show. This guy was doing a, and it was older. I couldn't tell you what the year was, but he did mention, you know, that in order to do that, you have to, there's a set, it's a set price. I mean, it's enormously expensive. I mean, it's,
I think,
like,
if I'm correct, about $25,000.
Yeah, $20,000 to $30,000 to.
It's the fixed price to be to have access, and then you have to pay some people. So either you pay them to not carry you, because it's not possible to carry a human that far, but to get you as far as possible with their
help. Well, yeah. They got
to the summit, basically.
You have to have escorts, and they do, you know, I think he said something like $200 a day, which includes your lodging and your meals. But I don't know if that is, you know, what that $20,000, I think that is the permit alone, you know, which is, that I don't
which
think that is included in all that other stuff that what he was saying about your food and your Sherpa and your whatever, your team, the team, because you need, you know, some, they carry all your stuff for you and tell you, obviously tell you where to go, because it's a very long trek and there are things you need to know. Yeah.
Even.
You can't just
get acclimated and. It costs a lot of money, and I think that there is also a lot of fake stories on that. There are a lot of people that are claiming to live some experience there that they probably didn't live, or be a part of some kind of big event that happened there, as in an avalanche or something like that. I don't think that each and everyone is totally honest on that.
Well, but you don't have to actually go up the mountain just to go to the little town there. I forget,
the
Nepal
base camp.
But after
that you climb up to some different setup and base camp higher and higher, and you get to take some time to get acclimated, I think.
Yeah, right. Well, there are little towns that you can go to that are just, you know, down at the bottom. Kathmandu. Is that's one of them, right?
That's probably the main one, as far as it is in Nepal. But I think that in the end, there are a lot of people that are not telling the whole story about it. And it's a notorious fact that climbers are passing by people that are in a bad situation. And instead of trying to help them and getting themselves in danger, they rather try and hike in the summit.
Yeah. Is that you think that's not true, or you think that...
No, that part is probably true. That part is probably true. I just don't think that all the people that think that they are reached the summit did it, really.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it's not something I've ever wanted to do. So I haven't really checked into all that sort of thing.
It's not something that I really want to do anytime in my life, but those are fascinating stories. And for some reason, I came across the fact on some unrelated forum that the way up is littered with corpses and equipment, and that led me down the rabbit hole that the high-altitude climber can be terrible people that steal your equipment and leave you there.
Well, it would seem, that it's not... Obviously, if you have to, you know, as far as like getting ready just to even go out there, you know, they tell you you should, you know, have to do some kind of training because the oxygen
not
gets
at the time.
All of that
not,
stuff.
Not really. I think that it's only since 2015 that they propose that such a thing will be in place. But after that, I think that the older guy that tried to get up there was 85.
And he made it?
No, I don't think he made it, and I think that he died. The younger is 13, was 13 years old at the time, supposedly.
But, you know, like I said, the people that live there, they get acclimated after, you know, so you know, because they live there, and they could, like, do all that stuff with little oxygen, you know, carrying all that stuff up, and I don't know, do you think, is that not true, you think, or...
I don't really know, because the fact is that There are no mention, if you want, in their culture of anyone being stupid enough to try to climb up there.
Well, yeah, like I said, it just seems very...
It apparently took someone that was stupid enough to decide that it was the higher place in the world and that they wanted to go there. But I don't think that the people from Tibet themselves never envisioned the fact that it was a good idea to go up there. So supposedly in less than 100 years, because the first one to go up there on the top of the world was in 1924. Was
yeah.
Edmond Hillary, yeah. I think. So in less than 100 years, they would have been acclimated to those specific condition. It's almost difficult to believe in a way. Because of course they're living in Kathmandu, but it's quite different from maybe 3,000,
right.
4,000 meter upward.
Well, and yes, again, I think a lot of that stuff is pure, well, just again, if we can see it happening right in front of us, it's pure marketing. You know, you just get on a bent and you just keep driving it home. I mean, I always say that about Italy because, you know, Italy is, everybody I know has gone to Italy. You know, it's like, for some reason, everybody wants to go to Italy. Now, why is that? Well, because probably they're marketing it like nobody's business. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of other countries
yes.
there
Italy
in Europe.
Is a yes, Italy is a country in Europe. Maybe there are some more interesting thing to see there, but you take any country in Europe, there are castles, there are magnificent work
right.
Of art and cathedrals and whatever. You pick Germany, even a country as supposedly sad and boring as Germany, is fascinating to go through and
oh,
see the
it's
different
not.
Places.
I...
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
We accept the reality of the world with which we're presented. It's as simple as that.
And that, what? How apropos from what we're talking about. I mean, it's like I was saying, I can't remember who I was talking to, but it may have been on another chat, but, you know, we get only what we get shown is what we know about. You know, like I have this friend who, she's from Germany and, she recently was showing me pictures of, you know, where she grew up. And I mean, it looks just like, you know, a cute little town, you know, like any town in maybe, you know, France or Switzerland or any of those other countries, you know. So, you know, it's everybody has history. Everybody has their museums. They have their beautiful nature mountain spots, you know, and you know, of course, as a skier I was always marketed Switzerland, and I, you know, that was like a dream spot. I always wanted to go, but I never made it there. So you know.
Yes, but it's not better than Austria or some places in France
yeah.
or Germany or even Slovenia if you want
right
to go,
and I've
it's just a question of marketing, as you say.
Right, right.
and
I'm sure that Canada
and
has...
And need to mention that skiing in Switzerland will probably be the more expensive skiing experience
right.
you can find in the world.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was going to say. You know, it's probably, you know, just because the elite go there. And I in America, Aspen was, you know, the big, you know, the... where all the stars went,
yes.
whatever, in Colorado. And granted, Colorado snow, I am a fan, a big fan of, loved it there. I've been there several times to ski. And I have been to Aspen, and quite frankly, I wasn't that impressed. I mean, with the ski slopes, you know, because I, you know, obviously I've skied a while, but I do not ski the hard, you know, I'm not a, what do you call it?
Yes, an experienced.
I am not an expert. Even though I have done the diamonds, but, and I did ski down the face of Aspen, which was like I believe it was a double diamond. And, it took me all day to get down that, but, it was freaking steep. It was scary. So, maybe that's why I didn't enjoy it as much, but you know.
But the fact is, it's like if you want to visit the desert, any type
right,
of desert
right.
is the same.
It's
a desert.
It's the same, yeah. I mean, certain locations have better snow, and that's, you know, as a technicality of skiing, you know, you got your wet snow, you got your fluffy snow, blah, blah, blah. And Colorado does have really nice snow, but, you know, there's areas in California that have just as good a snow, and Canada, and, you know, all along the western coast. So like you said, you know, I'm sure it's, you know, more or less the same in Switzerland or Austria or even the Italian Alps, I guess.
I guess so.
But,
I don't really know much about it because I don't really enjoy the cold. But I like snow, but it's too expensive. In my own country, it will be just ridiculous to try and go skiing.
Yeah. Well, and that again, like I said, you have your different resorts that, cater to.
Yes, there are cheaper ones too, of course, but even the cheaper ones are probably more expensive than Aspen will ever be.
That's true. That's interesting. I was just thinking about that because, we just got joined by someone new. Your fake is fake. Hello? Are they muted?
It seems that they are.
Okay. Anyway, what was I saying? Now I forgot.
We were speaking about Aspen and the different
fact
that those big destinations are a fact of marketing, and they are probably
marketing.
Not really better than
exactly.
anything else.
Exactly. I was just going to say, I have a cousin who, Tahoe is the closest to me right now in Northern California. And, I have a cousin that lives up there, and she used to work for a small family owned, resort. And it was, it wasn't, the tallest mountain or anything, but it was nice, and she used to get us, tickets there and stuff. So it was kind of fun to go out there. But recently it got bought up by a bigger, Squaw Valley, which is a big conglomerate. And, of course it's ruined now, but, the prices go up. And so where it was before a nice family outing, you could, do relatively cheaply as far as skiing goes. But, it is still a generally expensive sport because of all the equipment and whatnot. But all of a sudden, it gets sucked up into the bigger, again,
yes.
corporation, and you're priced out if,
Same
so,
goes
yeah.
for food right now. Same goes for food right now in Switzerland, for example, because I was outside, I wanted to pick something to eat, and I would say that 90% of the things that I can still buy at 10 and a half, it was big enterprise. It was not a mom and pop shop or something small or anything like that. It was either McDonald's or Domino's Pizza or one of those big things, and that was about it. Anything else I will want to eat, I would have to order from my home.
You're going to have to start your own garden.
It's difficult when you live in the middle of the city. And if you take a patch of land somewhere secluded, they might charge you.
Do you have a balcony?
No.
No outdoor, nothing outdoor at all, huh?
Sadly, I don't. But that will come. And that time will come. Because if things continue at that rate.
A growing closet. You do like the pot
yes.
growers. You get the lights and have a what do they call those things?
Yes, not to be too specific, but I can say that I have some experience about growing things into small areas inside of apartments. So that is not outside of the realm of possibilities.
Okay. Well, yep. That's like I was recently listening to a Crow presentation of some guy who was talking about permaculture, which is very interesting in that you don't necessarily need, obviously this is for outdoors, but you don't need a big patch of land to grow, a pretty good sized garden and feed yourself off of that. So You know, again, we have all been marketed to put grass on all our open, you know, land, you know, front yards, grass, and we could be growing food there very easily.
There was, at least where I live in Geneva, there was a big push toward that, and there always was this kind of communal garden where you can get a small patch of land and a small cabin that goes with it. But the thing is that the waiting list for those is just insane, and it's mostly older people that get those. But the initiative were there, and it's not all lost, but the thing is that it also has its bad side, because it's pushed toward an ecological society. Sometimes ridiculous, like I was saying, everything was closed down today. Everything, I mean, there was absolutely no way to buy bread or anything of that nature. Or milk, for example. I would have been at very big difficulty to find any type of milk to buy right now in Geneva. Or even before, during the day.
So, and that is, I mean, is that because of the holiday, or is it just...
No, it's because of the virus. Because yesterday, Saturday, everything was open. All the shops were open, and they were trying to bring in as much money as possible. So they just decided randomly, apparently, that tomorrow, meaning today, Sunday, was the dead day, that there was no business to be made except takeaway food and delivery.
Huh. So is that, like, just today, or is it going to go
on? No, it was 3 days after Christmas, and it was also 1 day last week. So it's kind of not really random, because they kind of get that into the holidays, but I am under no illusion that it will be a common feature for months to come.
Yeah, isn't it wild? It's like they figured out they can just about do whatever they want. I mean, it's like nobody seems to be like outraged by these things.
Well, the people that were outraged were the cigarette smokers, and that's the thing that bothered me the most. That you get to pay a premium, and you get to know some guy, or you take the bike without a driving license, once again, and you go into another state, which is not that far, because I am in Switzerland, so you probably drive 25, 30 kilometers, and you can find some cigarettes, but it's just plain insane to have to take the roads to buy cigarettes. And it's not a product of first necessity, but the shops where you can buy cigarettes, you can buy anything. Like I said, that's where you buy milk on a Sunday, or something like that.
So is there a lot of people out and about, or is everybody staying inside now and being...
Well, when I was buying food, the city center was dead. The area around the train station is always lively, because it's a hub and everything. And it's Sunday night, people are coming home from wherever they were. But apart from that, the city center is totally dead. It's quite cold also, but it's changed. People are more indoor, and everything that you do is that you contact someone via the internet and you decide to meet up somewhere.
Well, I mean, I went Christmas shopping, I guess it was the Monday before Christmas, and I went to the mall, which is, you know, usually like, you know, a zoo at that time. And there was nobody there. It was just maybe three in for parking spaces. You know, I mean, they have these huge parking lots that just get jammed, packed, and, you know, at this time of year. And nobody. It was totally dead. It's weird.
Well, yesterday it was pretty crowded during the day, the city centers, because the shops were open. There were a queue in front of many shops, mostly high-end shops, by the way. But there was a queue in front of shops, and everyone was buying as much as possible. So it's not that people are that worried. It's just that if you told them that they cannot shop, they will not shop, and that's about it. You close the shop, they don't buy anything, and as soon as you open them, they will buy everything they missed since.
Well, I was just going to check and see. I mean, usually, it's a Sunday, you know, everybody comes to the beach, especially now because it's, you know, they got nothing else to do. They can't go to the movies or, you know, whatever. Can't even go to a restaurant but it's rainy cold today, so and the streets are just empty. There's no traffic at all.
Yes, but I think that when you consider it, the movie industry was preparing for all that all this time. Because it is a fact that for maybe the past 20 years, I will say it started with maybe what is called that movie? Lord of the Rings. Those movies were terrible. They were about 3 hours and a half long. And I think that those type of movies are more designed for things that you watch at home, you know, or binge watching or those type of things. It was never really designed for to be something that you sit inside of a theater, then you watch, and there is an entr'acte, and you buy some food and whatever. I think that they were preparing for that all along. And the movies are quite longer than they were before, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I think, yes, the younger people are very well suited to that that lifestyle. They just stay home and play video games and watch movies and not get out into the world.
Yes, how can I say that? It was never really that different. It just expanded. But there was always, when I was a teenager already, people that were always staying indoors and playing video games. It's just better video game, more immersive, more time-consuming, and also they require more brain power, let's say. But this is the same thing, apart from that.
Well, yeah. And then social, you know, because all the kids are so socially inept, they don't really care that they can't go out and, you know, go to a bar and meet somebody or, you know what I mean?
I don't know. Like I said, it always was the case. And I don't think that the proportions are that different, really. So of course, people are using the internet to contact and everything, but I mean, 20-year-old, I don't think that most of them really care much about that. They just want to go out and meet girls, as many girls as possible, and as fast as possible.
And where do they go to do this these days?
They probably gather in some places that you and I have absolutely no idea because we are too old.
Yeah,
that's my opinion.
Obviously. Well, I see, you know, a lot of kids coming down to the beach, but they're usually, you know, they're all masked up and everything. So it's like, I don't know how they would meet anybody.
Yes, I don't know. But maybe somewhere they are meeting and they don't wear masks. Or maybe they are all drones and brainwashed. The theory that most of the people we come across in our lives are just NPCs is true.
What does NPC stand for?
Non-playing character. It will be the character that you encounter in a video game that are not controlled by a human, and that are kind of irrelevant. They are just there to fill the void.
So like a bot.
Yes, exactly. Like a bot. A system bot that is there to act on whatever the government is saying. So wear a mask, they wear a mask. Who knows? And I don't think that there is still a critical mass anywhere to try to do anything serious about this masking.
Well, okay. That's I guess I'm all up to date. You have something else you want to talk about?
Well, I think that we cover anything that we could cover today that is corona related.
There
isn't much to be said at this point. It's getting stale again.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of it.
There was this whole excitation about the vaccine and everything, and now in both sides, by the way. And now kind of died down because, yes, people are getting vaccinated and everything is happening as planned. And it's kind of boring.
I'm getting to the thought here that actually there wasn't that many vaccinations sent out because they're backpedaling so hard now, like it seems like they got to start all over again. It was just something to, like you said, get everybody to the next. We've been here for 9 months already. Come on. People got to be working it out by now, you know? I mean, even the normies.
I don't know. it's even worse than before, because now the fight is different, if you know what I mean. They have different preoccupation, and maybe the getting some money and getting their life together as much as possible is taking so many energy from them that they cannot bother to go to the source of the problem.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Well, I forgot now what we were talking about, but
all I know is that no one there one year ago was thinking about it. No one that I know of predicted that, really. No one saw that coming.
Say again?
I say no one ever saw that one coming. If we were speaking a year ago, we would probably not be mentioning COVID that much, really, on the 3rd of January.
Yeah, well, like you said, it's hard to believe that we're already a year into this. I mean, they were talking about China last year at this time. And
yes, they were starting.
It was starting, so it's been a year, and there, I guess everything is going to plan. And God, now I guess the depressing thing for me is that, when I was looking at this in March and they were saying, oh, this is going to last until August, and I was like, no way, no freaking way. And then, we get to August, and then it's like, oh. This is going to last for another 3 years. And I was like, no, no freaking way. But now it's like, okay, I guess I gotta accept this is not going away. I gotta figure out how to deal with it. Like, stop getting so angry. You're pretty good at that. You're pretty good at just accepting it. And
that's how it is. I get to survive. I'm like everyone else. I get to survive, try to have as much fun as possible, and it's a fun game. Find the others. It's a fun game to play. Yeah. Find the others. Where are the others?
Okay,
who is like me?
How
it's
right.
Important to know who is like me. Just before, it was easy. The only thing you had to do is just mention religion or politics with some people, and you were good. Now it's a different game. Yes,
and then
different.
You figure it out. Yeah. Well, I don't know. You probably don't listen to the No Agenda show. It's a...
I'm familiar with the show, but I did not listen for a long time.
Yeah, it's not really anything. I mean, at this point, it's like I started listening to it because of the election, because they used to have, talk about election stuff. And, I usually don't even pay attention to politics, but, it was particularly interesting this time. And I guess that freaking worked for them because it sucked me in. And it now, and back in hindsight, it's just like, that's what they wanted. Right. But in saying that, and these two guys, they have quite a following, and there's a lot of people supposedly that are giving these people money. And apparently they have a network where, people get together who are, in agreement or, like you said, that understand all this stuff, and they're not following the party line. So, like you said, and they have these meetings at bars or parks or wherever, and they get together and meet up. They call them meetups. So it's like, maybe it's time to go find a meetup.
Yes, maybe it's the time. Who do you think will be instated in, when is it, the 21st, so in 17 days?
I don't know. I haven't really, like I said, I kind of lost track of it because I like got tired of listening to that No Agenda show because it seemed like over and over again, same stuff. So I haven't really listened to what's been going on except for whatever Rollo posts here. And he hasn't really put too much lately, at least not that I've seen anyway. But on the telegram, there was something that came over about the fact that Biden canceled his plans for the inauguration party, which, you know, who knows where that, I can't, let me see if I can find it. I don't know where exactly it came from, but I thought that was kind of interesting.
I don't know if they will pay that one off. And that's the fun of it, because no one really knows what will happen.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay, so it says the Joe Biden inaugural parade has been canceled at News Politics, which I don't know who does that, but...
But who made the announcement? That's, like you said, who does that? That's the big question.
Right, you guys, is that real, or is it, yeah. Some of these things, like, I don't know where they come from, so I can't really tell if it's real or not. But I wanted to ask, I guess he left, the Canada guy, about this, supposedly they're still having, they had a lockdown rally yesterday in Toronto.
They, I was hoping that Ab will be with us later on.
Yeah.
I don't think that it will be the case. And it's Sunday after all, so.
Yeah.
You cannot be on bridge each and every day.
Right. And tomorrow's back to work again, so I have to...
Yes, in about 9 hours for me. But I am grand, because a friend of mine let me an apartment for a week. Now, it was a month, but there is a week left. And I'm about currently maybe 30 meters from my work. I'm pretty fine. I could wake up at 9:15, go there, sign the paper that say that I am there, and go back to take a shower.
So do you have to get your temperature taken or do any unusual
things? Absolutely nothing like that. Absolutely nothing like that. But I know that if I want a few days, I can always say that I don't feel that well. And no one will say nothing. No one will bother you. They will just accept the fact. For that moment, they will not ask you to take a test or anything like that. But you don't get to play too long, if you know what I mean. You know, you call sick on Monday, and by Wednesday you call in and you say, okay, I will be there tomorrow. It was absolutely nothing, and blah, blah, blah. Also, so for the moment, it's like that. It's not
that bad,
but
they're not.
It might change.
What do you think they'll ask you to take a vaccination if... I mean, like you said, maybe...
I can't. I absolutely can't be vaccinated against any type of disease as long as the vaccine contains mercury.
Oh, because you got it. You have an allergic... Oh, well, that's good. That's a good...
Yes, that's good.
I mean...
I never really thought that it would be useful, but it is.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I, like you said, I don't know anybody who's actually been... offered a vaccination, so that's why I'm thinking that maybe it's not really there, at least.
Maybe it's so meaningless in a sense that they don't really need that much people to get vaccinated.
Yeah, well,
it's like slapping your kids, if you want. Maybe the threat of it is better than slapping them.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying, that they get to keep this thing going on, because, you know, they've got, obviously there's an agenda, you know, to get people's businesses out of the way. And, you know, if they got things all opened up again, you know, that all their good work might go away. I mean, might have to start all over again or something. I don't know. But I'm thinking, either, you know, because that was another thing about Trump, was that, you know, because he said, oh, we're going to get this vaccine by the end of the year, you know, chop chop, and, you know, like, so now they could have something more to blame on him, that, you know, he actually didn't get it done, or whatever he got done didn't work.
He did that. But the fact, it's also the simple fact that there is a vaccine shift the discussion. We are not discussing about the possibility of a virus. We are not discussing the reality of the disease. We are discussing the vaccine, which is one step toward admitting that the disease is real, in a sense.
True. That's true. Yeah, it's like, again, you know, the goalpost keeps changing. You got to get away, because, again, you know, maybe they were figuring out, well, it's not such a bad thing. And they did, you know, they have kind of eased off the death thing, and you know, they got the pedal on the cases, and you know, the cases and the tests and the cases and the cases, you know. So it's the goal, you know, it's just like they move the narrative, so you can't now you can't argue with the cases, because you know, everybody's lining up for their test. And yeah,
yes, and it's impossible to get out of it in the end. They are stuck at a certain level, and there is no way. They keep raising that level that we are stuck at, and there is absolutely no way to go to the beginning level, which was probably in, yes, February, beginning of March last year, where
yeah.
we were probably discussing the thing in way different terms than we are right now. I remember that I was quite optimistic that it will be stopped by the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
How wrong was I?
Exactly. We were all just blindsided. I think it's just, it still seems unbelievable to me. Even, you know, all this time later, I just, I don't know. I gotta do something. I gotta figure it out. How to focus elsewhere, I guess.
Yes. And I am also now waiting for more different things to come, because for example, it is certain by now but that it will be impossible to travel without getting vaccinated in some sort of way. So I am the opinion that there will be also a test to know if you are really vaccinated or not, if the vaccine is effective, because maybe your vaccine is expirated and we cannot really say what the duration of it is. So we will test you, and then if it's not positive on the vaccine reaction, we will have to vaccinate you again. And I think that this game will be played for long, and it will be twisted and convoluted, and we will be lost in it.
Well, that's why maybe we should just start, just go, you just should go traveling now, because there's still time to slide
through
the window.
There is absolutely no way. Because, I mean, if I were, for example, which is my next travel project, go to the UK, we'll have to wait 14 days, I think, there. And I don't even think at this point that I can travel there. I don't even think the custom will accept me. Even if I was ready to be locked into some stupid hotel that I will probably have to pay myself, certainly, I don't think that they will let me in. So.
At least here, I mean, I don't know how it works over there, but in the States, they tell you you got to quarantine. Only certain states, like New York, of what I've heard, I haven't actually tried it. I'm thinking maybe I should just go see what happens. Try to make a plane reservation and see what happens. But, you know, most of the people that I've known for certain states, again, like my friend has a son in New York who came home for Thanksgiving, and he flew, and they told him he needed to quarantine when he came back. But, you know, he works at home, so it's like, no.
Makes no sense.
Makes no difference, right? And nobody was knocking on the door checking on him or anything. And he was supposed to quarantine when he came to California. He came to visit his mom, and you know, nobody's checking. They're telling you you have to, and maybe you say, yeah, you're gonna, but no one's really checking. So and you know, like I said, my friend's daughter went to another state. She went to Utah. Maybe they tell you, oh, you should get a test. Maybe, I don't know. And I also have a friend whose sister lives in Hawaii, and she said she was going to try to come for Christmas, but they told her she would have to quarantine, you know, and she didn't want to try it. And so I don't know, you know, again, it's like, but who's checking? I don't know how, I mean, like you said, you have to stay in a hotel and you got to pay for it. Well, how do they know where, you know, who's...
I don't mind skipping out of the hotel. And,
yeah, how do they know?
The point is that I don't have the money to pay for an hotel and pay
well,
for...
No, but you don't even have to stay. Like if you have, you just give them an address where you're going to quarantine, you know, I mean, you're wherever you're going.
I think that they check that you have a reservation at the very least. Of course, you don't even really have to show up there. Or at least you just put a bag there and whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got to be able to get out and get some food. Or, I mean, it's it, like I said, I don't think there's anybody checking. So
I will ask because I have a personal relation that I know was quarantined in some paradise island. And I will not mention too much for personal reason, but that person decided to go on some paradisiac island as of now, and she was quarantined for 2 weeks, I think. So I will ask her who it was and anything.
Yeah, what
I will of course not ask her to go on live, but I will report her answer.
Yeah, I mean, I the only people that I've heard was, obviously in Australia that they had actual policemen standing at their door, but I mean, I don't know exactly if that is happening everywhere. So that's why I say, somebody's got to test it. Go just find out, see what's what.
That would be an idea. But like I said, I don't really know what is the thing. But for the UK, as far as I know, I don't even think it's possible to go there at this point. Let me check as we speak.
You know, all you got to do is make some phone calls. I mean, you don't have to necessarily put your money down yet. Just make phone calls and ask. Let's see. Can I do that?
Switzerland, UK, travel. Let's see about that.
Yeah. Like I said, just make some phone calls.
Well, in the sense, UK, Switzerland, it's not possible to travel.
Because of the Brexit, you mean?
Air travel from the UK to Switzerland, in that sense, has been suspended until further notice. I'm trying to find what is the opposite situation. Trade in business, studying in the UK. It doesn't say what is the opposite. The UK. I'm trying to see what is the situation currently. It's tricky because the website of the Swiss Confederation is asking me to register in the travel admin app and enter my travel to see if there is a possibility.
Your travel what?
Swiss travelers should register themselves as well as their journey in the UK with the travel admin app to remain updated about the situation and possible option to fly back to Switzerland.
So they can't come back home unless they're abroad.
Well, you have to contact the embassy if you want to go back, I think. That's the case.
So you don't think you could ride your motorcycle across the border?
Well, firstly, I will not try the joke of trying to pass any border without any type of driving license.
So that is
the thing. And that will not be possible until March, because apparently I get the letter just there, and it says that since the 29th of September 2020, I was not authorized to take a move.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hello, this is Tom Dalper, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Tom with the soothing voice. Yes, like I said, I am not allowed to take a driving exam at the moment. I get to submit myself to some analysis. And at the very least, the delay will be March. So I will hope to have the license by June. And then we see about travel at that moment. But for the UK, it's specific because it's an island, so you get to get your bike on the train and you get to use the tunnel, so the Euro tunnel. So I think that it's different in that case.
I see. Well, yeah, that's a different, just getting on an airplane would be, you would need, again, documents, passport, all that.
That is just insane.
Well, I'm gonna see if I can try to get to Mexico just for grins, because they say that they're not as, they don't, at least that's what that guy says. They don't really care about it so much, the corona, but just out of curiosity, see what, if there's not a vaccine, there's not a vaccine available to you, how can you, I'm sure the airlines want you to fly. There's planes in the air. I see planes in the air. Somebody's going somewhere.
Yes, on a reduced schedule, but yes, there are planes. But I have some money that is aside in in a travel agency because I had some travel plans for 2020 and they never, that never happened. And a nice lady at the travel agency told me that if they ever refunded me completely, and if they ever refunded any and each client completely, they might well go under. So it was nice enough to say that they can keep my money. And it, she said that it was valid for a year. So I have to book some travel before the end of April this year.
Oh, yeah, and I've lost money that way too, because when I had booked, it's not a lot of money. I just booked a flight and I had to cancel it, and they said, okay, you got to use it within a year. And I, had broken my ankle. And so I, you know, wasn't, I suppose I could have gotten on a plane, but I was not mobile. So the year date came up and I called them and said, hey, can you just extend it for, you know, another 3 months or whatever? Cause that, you know, I could get your doctor's note, whatever. And they were like, nope, sorry. They didn't even want it. It's like, you know.
Yes. But what I will do is that before the end of the delay, I will get an hotel room with full service. And I will find some nice, fine young lady to go with me in said hotel for 3 or 4 days. Depending on what my money can pay for.
Well, there you go. That's some, at least you got something to look forward to.
Yes. I cannot let them have that money for free. I mean, I work for that.
Exactly. It's very annoying.
And I have great plans for that money. So.
All right. Well, I guess I got to go get some lunch. I can hear my stomach ready for eat.
It is sink because... my spinach are now ready, so I'm about to eat spinach.
Oh, yum. Goody, goody. Okay. Well,
as I was saying to you, Arthur, I'm trying the meat-free diet for a month. That is a good alternative.
That doesn't sound too bad.
Oh, that's not the worst.
Yeah. At least you got food. That's the important thing.
I will always have food. I'm too smart to die of hunger.
All righty. Well, thanks, Benoit.
Anyway,
I guess,
thanks for the great conversation, unrecorded.
Yeah.
The unrecorded part is probably better.
I know. I was going to say, I'm sorry. Probably is better than the one we had before, but oh well.
It is what it is. It was nice anyway, and I really enjoy speaking with you. So let's do it sometimes again.
Sure. I'm getting used to these chats. I'm totally missing out on and all the socialization that I used to get. It's like, this is it. This is where I'm getting it. So,
so let's go.
We'll
anyway, I wish you a bon appetit. And let's
enjoy
speak
your
later
spinach.
On.
All right. Take care. Bye.
As always, fakeologies.com, fakeotube.com, youcancatchavirus.com. And there are links from the website that will direct you to any type of way you so desire to show your support, monetarily speaking. Have a nice day.
That's all, folks.